Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Thursday, December 7th, 2017. I'm your host, Scott Burton. Thanks for tuning in. On today's show, we'll talk with author and poet John Straley about a new book of poems and a reading on Friday. Artist Cass Woodward will preview his presentation on painter Sidney Lawrence for the City Museum's annual meeting. KXLL's Annie Bartholomew will highlight Friday's pop-up record shop at Amalga Distillery and our used media sale here on Saturday. And Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up, those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more right here live and local on a Juno afternoon. Currently 50 degrees in the capital city.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Communities near the fishing industry of Bristol Bay are larger and often have more seasonal and year-round work opportunities than those inland near the proposed Pebble Mine site in Alaska. Some residents are eager to take jobs related to the project, while others oppose the project, citing environmental concerns. In our series, Alaska Water Wars, Daisha Eaton reports on a man camp built this summer to house people working to develop the mine.
Clinton Hobson plugs exploration drill holes that are leaking water at the Pebble Mine site, where it's rolling tundra, streams, and lakes as far as the eye can see.
It's hard work, but hey, it's a job.
Hobson is Athabascan. He lives about 50 miles across Lake Iliamna from the mine site in the tiny village of Kakanak, where jobs are scarce. He says he's happy to have the work.
I got bills to pay.
He makes almost $20 per hour in the seasonal job. Outside Kakanak, Brad Anguson, who works for the Alaska Peninsula Corporation, shows off a project.
This is the Kakanak Man Camp. There's approximately about 12 to 15 tents here.
Anguson is Supiak, a Lutik Alaska native. His mother's family is from Kakanak, a community of about 170 Yupik, Supiak, and Athabascan Alaska Native people. The unemployment rate fluctuates from a low of around 9% in summer to a high of 16% in midwinter. And even if they don't want to work directly for the mining company, many residents are desperate for jobs to help them stay in their villages. The village corporation that Anguson works for represents Kakanak and four other villages. Some of those villages, he says, are on the verge of disappearing.
Alaska Peninsula Corporation has villages that are what I consider to be nearing the brink of abandonment.
The camp employed 15 residents this summer. 27-year-old Nicholas Mike, who is Yupik, is one of them. He makes $20 per hour, and the money is critical.
Well, it means a lot. I get to stay home, close to family. I don't have to deal with traffic in Anchorage.
He does see one drawback, though.
I haven't been able to really do any subsistence this summer.
Anguson says he knows that developing the mine is a risk to the area's pristine waters, but he hopes it can be done safely and dramatically change the economic outlook for the region. I'm Daisha Eaton.
A group of Eastern Washington tribes is joining a nationwide movement to reclaim indigenous identities and retell native stories. In this case, it's about a name change, as correspondent Emily Schwing reports.
Andrew Colville was a Scottish businessman, best known for governing the Hudson Bay Company. Fort Colville was named for him. It was flooded during construction of the Grand Coulee Dam. His name was given to 12 bands that make up the Confederated Tribes of the Colville Reservation.
When you think about a white man that's never set foot on the reservation, there really is no connection there.
Megan Francis is the public affairs officer for the Confederated Tribes of the Colville Reservation. This summer, the tribal council floated the idea to drop Colville from their name.
And so with this whole modern movement of identity, we really want our future generations to have that connection.
In the next few weeks, the Colville Tribal Council will send ballots to nearly 9,500 tribal members across the region with one question: should they change the name or not? Ballots will be counted by February. If the referendum is approved, the name-changing process will begin this spring. I'm Emily Schwing reporting.
Funeral services are planned for Monday in Loup, Arizona for Navajo code talker George Willie Sr. Willie is being remembered for his service in World War II. His family says he was a kind father and grandfather. They say he developed dementia in his older years, which took a toll on his health. The 92-year-old passed away earlier this week after being released from the hospital for hospice care. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians, advising us all to protect the circle of life. Help prevent the spread of the flu by getting a flu vaccine each year. Learn more at aaip.org.
NAHTA support by the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce Convention and Tourism Department, providing complete convention and visitor planning services to Native American conventions. Information on convention and tourism services at fiabq.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Thursday, December 7th, 2017. I'm your host today, Scott Burton. In the studio with me now is poet and author John Straley. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you, Scott. It's great to be here.
Yeah, and you're holding your new book of poems, 100 Poems of Summer.
Summer. Yes. Put out by Shorefast Editions here in Juno.
That's great. Katrina Pearson and Company, right?
Katrina Wolfer.
Excuse me. That's right.
I made that mistake myself and bite your head off. Katrina Wolfer and Sarah Asper Smith and Ben Huff worked on the design, and Ben helped with the editing and the whole look. They did a beautiful job on this
they
book.
Did.
I'm so proud and happy to have my name on this book. There's a cherry branch on the cover of each of the books. There's 100 Poems of Spring, came out last spring, and 100 Poems of Summer, and then you can probably guess the next 100 Poems of Fall, 100 Poems of Winter, and the same cherry branch done by my friend Norm Campbell in Juneau is on each cover, reflecting each season, and I have a cherry tree right out in front of my office in Sitka, and so it reflects the seasons.
Now, I think a lot of people know you as a novelist. Mm-hmm. How long have you been writing poetry?
Boy, I started writing poetry in the eighth grade, and I'm dyslexic. I write upside down and backwards still to this day. And in the eighth grade, I had a teacher that got me into poetry because of the shortness of the form and the music that poetry can make with words. And that helped me get into writing and writing. And he said, you know, don't worry about the spelling. Just listen to the rhythm and the little rhymes and the music that words can make. And that got me over all self-consciousness about language. And I just took off. I just loved it.
Do you happen to remember that teacher's name?
Joseph Moriarty. Yeah, uh-huh. And he became a close friend of mine and my family's, and he changed my life. He was a great teacher.
What great advice. Where was that?
I was in New York City.
Okay. Yeah. You're in Sitka now most of the time, right?
Mm-hmm. I've lived in Sitka since 1977.
And how many novels have you written now?
Mm-hmm. 11.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this is how many collections of poetry?
Well, there are two that are out now of spring and summer, and I've written one other collection of what you'd call standard poems called The Rising in the Rain. It was published by the University of Alaska Press.
Okay. How would you describe to our listeners what it means for you when you're writing fiction versus writing poetry?
Well, of course, writing fiction is starting to tell a tale. And when I do it, I think of sitting around a fire and saying, you know, once upon a time, and then just letting your imagination drift out into the night with those sparks and the smoke and let it rise up. And, you know, that there's a story with a beginning and a middle and an end, and a heroine and a hero, and something changes and happens. And either they go out into the darkness and they come back with something, or they go out and they never come back. But with a poem, it's some, you have a feeling, And then you want to someone else to have that same sort of burst of energy. You want to transfer this feeling that you have in your heart and in your mind. And you want someone else to feel that same feeling. And you want to sort of, you know, it's like a like those teleportation machines in Star Trek that go, and the people appear on another planet. Well, with a poem, you kind of want them, you want that feeling to from your brain and appear in their hearts and minds too. So I have never used that description before, but that's kind of what you want.
It totally worked. I got it. I read some writer once wrote that, you know, an essay or a short story is like a glass of water. And if you poured that glass of water onto a hot skillet, a poem is like the steam.
Ooh, that's fancier than my Star Trek
one. I think
one.
I like dee-la-la-la-la, dee-la-la-la.
Yeah, that's much fancier than mine.
Will you share? Will you transport
sure.
us somewhere?
Oh, yeah. Well, a haiku poem, and each of these books, each season has an essay at the beginning. And in spring, it has kind of a technical English majory kind of essay about the form. And in that, it explains that these little poems started as kind of party drinking games in the Japanese nobility. And they started, an honored guest often would supply a first line, and as the evening wore on, the guests would supply the next. And they were usually 5 syllables, 7 syllables, 5 syllables, and then 2 7-syllable lines. And they could be about any subject. But usually they were, the guests all venerated or loved the Chinese wilderness poetry of the ancients that had wilderness themes and themes that reflected Taoist or Buddhist beliefs. And it wasn't as serious as people thought, because Taoists and Buddhists at that time were kind of the beatniks of the time, and they weren't approved. They didn't meet with the approval of the government because they were renegades. They were anarchists. They couldn't be controlled by the emperor or the military, and so they were kind of naughty. But in my form, I don't necessarily stick to the 5-7-5. Although I started with the 5-7-5 30 years ago when I started writing these. I write them every day as a practice. But I stick to the principle of a seasonal reference and a little surprise at the end, and sort of this idea that it has to give you the feeling of the season and of a mind in nature. So that's sort of the rules I follow. So here's one. All of this sunshine somehow makes me nervous now. I can't use it all. So, you know, you can write a haiku about anything. People write them about computers and politics and dirty jokes, you know. But I try to write them about waking up in wherever you are. In so your mind is part of where you are, okay. And so, and I wrote all of these in my yard in Sitka, and so the seasons are real important. All the other essays in these books are essays about how the seasons in Sitka are unique and how they lend themselves to this form of poetry. Green leaves, apple trees, and a little girl swinging on a knotted rope. So, some of these are kind of like postcards. And I used to write them at the end of my journal entries, and then I would collect them at Christmas time and write them all in a little journal book, another book, and I'd give them to Jan, my wife, as a Christmas present. All the bears want is fish, berries, sex, and sleep. Just like me. Summer, your birthday. The berries are fully ripe,
and just the right age. So these are summer. These are supposed to give you just a little burst of a summer feeling, right? They don't need to be interpreted any other way. People often just get ruined poetry by trying to figure it out. And this is why it was better when you drank a little or relaxed and just played with them. You know, you just...
Speaking of that, when in your day do you read poetry?
I usually read at night. Often I'll read in bed with Jan and we'll read aloud. I like to read them aloud with friends or somebody we'll have in a conversation. And I'll say, "Oh, that reminds me of something I read." And then I like to read them around loud or have friends read them aloud to me. Poems really were meant to be read aloud. Haikus, not as much, really. They're really fun to just read to yourself. But we're picking berries, two small boys and I laughing, faces scratched, buckets full. You know, so... And as they're kind of chronological, so as the summers are brief, as we know here, and it still rains in summer. we get more rain, I think, during the summer than you do here.
So you're going to be doing more of this tomorrow, right? Friday, yeah. At the Baranoff?
Yeah, at the Baranoff Hotel on the main ground floor. We rented a room there, a small banquet room, for just any of our friends or anybody who's curious to come by. There'll be an open bar. Not an open bar. What do you call it? No host bar. And some food and as many of our friends that want to come by. And I'll do a short reading. We'll have books for sale. And at the end, I think we're going to have as is traditional with the Shorefast Edition people, we'll have a Boilermaker to celebrate the 100 Poems of Summer. So come on out for that.
Okay. And I imagine there will be signed copies available.
If you want one, I will sign it in anyone's name you want. Yeah, I'll sign it Samuel Clemens if you want. You can tell them you've got a book signed by Samuel Clemens. But usually I sign it with my own name.
If people are interested in learning more about your work, John, where's the best place to do that?
There is a johnstraley.com, and I haven't updated it in a while. Ever since the last presidential election, I haven't updated it. And I don't know why those two things coincide, but I've been trying to think about what to do with my blog ever since then. But people have been harassing me to write more in my blog, and I'm going to start doing that. I just finished a Cecil Younger novel, which will be coming out in August, called Baby's First Felony. I just finished a nonfiction profile of Burgess Bowder, a veterinarian in Sitka. That will be coming out in spring. And I also finished 100 Poems of Winter and 100 Poems of Fall, and they should be out in a few weeks, I hope.
You've been busy.
Yeah.
And I think I found Shorefast Editions on Facebook, and that's our local publishing house.
They are an amazing organization, and I'm giving back any royalties that I might get from these books and putting them back into Shorefast. Because they are dedicated to authentic, high-quality Alaskan stories and Alaskan literature. And I'm really excited about their next project of poems by Robert Davis Hoffman, who is, I think, one of Alaska's great poets and lives in Sitka, and one of Alaska's really fine poets. And that book is called Soul Catcher. Great book.
All right, John Straley, meet him tomorrow night, 5:30 at the Baranoff John, thanks for coming on the show. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Just, you don't have to be a friend of mine. You can even be somebody that doesn't like me very much, but come on down anyway, and I'll woo you over with these poems. And Norm Campbell's beautiful artwork. It's really fun.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Support comes from the University of Alaska College Savings Plan, helping to reach educational savings goals. Save in Alaska. Study anywhere. Information at uacollegesavings.com.
This week is KTOO's Winter On Air Member Drive, and we'd like to encourage you to think about how much you value public media and compare that to other things you readily pay for each month. Lunch out, a beer with friends. Aren't the hours spent with your radio tuned to KTOO worth at least as much as some of the other nice things you have in your life? And I'd be willing to bet some of them aren't half as essential. Help share in the cost of keeping KTOO a vital part of Juneau and a vital part of your day. Give at KTOO.org. Thanks.
You're listening to Juneau Afternoon here on Thursday, December 7th, 2017. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 5 minutes till the bottom of the hour. And in the studio now is Jane Lindsay of the Juneau Douglas City Museum and artist Cass Woodward. Down from Fairbanks, we're going to be talking about a talk tonight at the Rockwell Ballroom about Sidney Lawrence. Welcome to the show, you two.
Thank you.
It's really nice to have you. Jane, how did this come to be, bringing Kes down here to talk about Sidney?
Sure. So this is the Friends of the Juneau Douglas City Museum. It's their annual meeting, and they are a history organization, also a nonprofit that supports city museum activities. And recently, they have funded and donated to the museum a new acquisition, Bend in the River by Sidney Lawrence.
That's a big deal, right?
It's a big deal. We went to auction, and we won it at auction, and the painting is in memory of William D. DeArmond. And Sidney Lawrence in Juneau is really something. So on the tails of that really wonderful acquisition, we invited Kessler to come down, Kes Woodward, to come down and speak about Sidney Lawrence because he knows so much about this artist.
And you are a great artist yourself.
Oh, thank you. You're very kind.
Yeah. And so here we have this great artist down from Fairbanks. He wrote a book on Sidney Lawrence back in 1990. Thinking back to that time or even before that, what drew you to Sidney?
Well, you know, even before that, when I first came to Alaska as a 25-year-old curator at the Alaska State Museum here in Juneau, that was one of the first artists that I learned about in Alaska. And I quickly learned that he's the most beloved Alaskan artist. And since then, for 40 years, I've been writing books about him and talking about him and lecturing about him and how his vision of Alaska is one that's kind of shaped how we Alaskans see this place ourselves.
Okay, interesting. When you look at one of his paintings, as an accomplished painter yourself, what do you see?
Oh, I see somebody who had all the skills in the world and who, when a place was new and fresh to him and he was painting it and trying to figure out what he wanted to say about it, made truly marvelous paintings. Sidney is much better known for his paintings of Denali than he is for his paintings of Southeast Alaska. But he did those paintings over and over and over and over. And he spent less time in Juneau, but what I'm going to talk about tonight is that the time he did spend here in Juneau, not only did he produce some of his most interesting and best work, but his relationship with Belle Simpson and the Nugget Shop here in Juneau was the linchpin of his success as an artist. He would not have become the household word in Alaska and the success that he was if it hadn't been for Juneau and the Nugget Shop.
He got the Juneau bump.
Exactly.
And, you know, as Junoites, we love to hear that.
Right? And take us back a little bit more. An interesting life, right? Was he born in New York?
He was born in Brooklyn.
Pretty normal life, right? Art school.
Yeah, went to art school. As a young artist in New York in his early 20s, he was part of a group of progressive young artists in New York, and he showed at the National Academy of Design. And he married another artist, and the two of them moved to England. He had some success there. And then, like so many people over the years with Alaska, he came to Alaska and left everything else behind.
Off the grid.
In 1903 or 1904, depending on whom you believe.
And he would have been about 40-something?
Well, he would have been 35. He'd have been about 38 or 39 years old when he came here. And he was mining and prospecting. People asked him for years why he came to Alaska. And he said, well, the same reasons as all the other suckers. I was looking for gold, and I didn't find much of that, and so I went back to painting.
And it worked.
And
right?
It worked.
Right away? Did it take a while?
It took quite a while. He didn't do very much painting in the early years of his career. I'm going to be talking tonight about how another prominent artist, Belmore Brown, ran into him in 1910 and thought he was a sad case and was that it was all over for him. But he helped him out a little bit, and Lawrence got back on his feet. But the real big break for him as a successful artist was when Bell Simpson at the Nugget Shop here in Juneau started showing his work in 1919. And she rapidly told him, I can sell every single painting you send me. Send me as many as you can.
And remind us what the Nugget Shop was.
The Nugget Shop was established, again, depending on whom you believe, in 1914, 1915, or 1917, right on South Franklin Street in the Seward Building. And she took in his paintings along with artifacts that she bought from, that she acquired from Native artisans and Native artists. And she had the most successful gift shop and curio shop in Alaska. But he became kind of the cornerstone of her gallery and curio shop very rapidly.
Okay. Jane, how about you? When you see Bend in the River, where is it right now, by the way?
It's in the museum down in the collection.
Okay.
Yeah. But you've got an image of it, don't you?
I'll be showing images of it and the other, and a lot of other Juno images done by Sidney Lawrence tonight. Yeah.
And how about you, Jane, looking at Bend in the River and some of his work, does it?
It really speaks to me in that, you know, living here in Juno, I've done more outdoor painting than ever in my life. But, you know, he's got atmosphere that's really intriguing. He really understands composition, and he doesn't fuss over details. So when you do look at his landscapes, you really do see, you see and feel the way it feels and looks here, if I could say it that way. But, you know, I think of him as a tonalist, which is a low contrast and an atmosphere. And I could see why Denali might be sort of the bread and butter of what he does. But when I look at the Juno landscapes, I say that's a very accomplished painter, and he's engaged in his painting.
Okay. I was reading, Kes, on your website today. I like this quote of yours. You say, in all of my work, I try to capture memories of moments to make images that reflect not so much on what places look like, but how it felt for me to be in them at particular moments in time.
That's what my work is all about. And I think it was a lot of what Sidney Lawrence's work was about. He had all the skills, and it was just a matter of looking at the place and reacting to the place, either on site. That's another thing I'll be talking about tonight, is the difference between working on site and making sketches and going back to the studio and working, and taking photographs and going back to the studio and working. And he, like most artists, did all of those things.
Okay. Jane, can you give us the details on tonight, please?
Sure. So this is there's a few parts of it, but the great thing is, please come. It's at the Rockwell. Doors open at 6 p.m. There's a no-host bar, and there is some refreshments provided by the Friends. And if you're a current member, or, you know, 2017, or a new member of the Friends, you come for free. If you're not, it's a $5 suggested donation. So we do have our annual Friends meeting from 6:30 to 7. And we run through some of our accomplishments, like any nonprofit meeting. And then at 7, Kes will speak. So that's 7 to 8:30.
Okay, and that's at the Rockwell Ballroom. If no one's ever been there, how would you describe how to get there?
Well, it's on South Franklin, and it's on the corner of Front and Franklin. Just walk up the street a little bit, and it's up the stairs.
Yeah, kind of past the clock on the right.
Near the Baranoff. Right. Go down the street a little bit.
Just below the Baranoff.
Yeah.
All right. On that subject of tonight, anything else either of you would like to add?
It's exciting for me to be back in Juneau. It's always wonderful to be here and to work with the City Museum. And Jane and I have worked together for years. She's a terrific artist herself. And it's just a privilege to get to be here and do this with the Friends of the Museum.
Well, it's great to have both of you here and looking forward to this event tonight. Now, if I may, we have just a couple minutes left. I understand you are both public media fans.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right? I can't even imagine what life in Alaska would be without public radio.
And you listen at KUAC up in Fairbanks?
I do. When we do fundraisers at KUAC every fall, I'm on the air for them pitching how we all need to pitch in, because it makes life not just bearable but fruitful and exciting here in Alaska. It connects, as we say at KUAC in Fairbanks, so it connects Alaska to the world and the world to Alaska. That's what public media does.
And Jane, you just made your membership contribution.
I did, and I you know, for me, it's just like putting on a pair of soft slippers. You know, I always find myself turning on to K2. I love listening to Juno Afternoon when I'm working, when I'm at home. I really do. It connects me with the community, and I'm just so grateful that we always have a connection to the community through K2. I mean, it works always, so.
I like that, the pair of soft slippers. Listeners, yeah. It's time to put on your soft slippers if you haven't already. You can do that at 586-3636 or go to ktoo.org. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, you two. I will see you tonight at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, great. Thank you. So much. Thanks for having us.
Must I forget the things I knew when I was friends with one or two. Traveling light like we used to do. Traveling light.
Support comes from Southeast Living Magazine, Southeast Alaska's home, real estate, and lifestyle magazine, working to reach potential home buyers and featuring articles and tips on home improvement. Available at locations throughout Southeast. More at seakliving.com. KTOO is conducting the Winter On Air Member Drive right now. As important as fund drives are to KTOO, and they are, we know that many of you don't want to miss any of the programs you love. So, we'll keep messages brief, and we'll trust that this 30-second reminder is enough to send you to the phones to make your contribution. Just call 586-3636 to renew or start your giving. And if contributing online is easier for you, there's a big donate button on KTOO's homepage, ktoo.org. Thanks.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Thursday, December 7th. Scott Burton, your host, and it's about 20 minutes until the top of the hour. In the studio now is the KXLL program director and arts producer here at K2 Public Media, Annie Bartholomew. And we're going to be talking about a pop-up record shop tomorrow, Friday, and our used media sale on Saturday. Annie B., welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Scott.
It's good to have you here. So these pop-up record shops are a cool deal. Tell us about them. Where do you get the idea to have these?
Yeah. Well, as a teenager in Juneau, I got to go to our used media sale. And, you know, I'm a teenager. I don't have a car. So I'd probably get there at 10. And then all the old guys would show up early and buy up all the good records.
Those old guys.
Wake up early and, you know, discipline. And but I was just, like, kind of bummed, you know, that all the good stuff walks out the door really fast because it's all kind of equitably priced. And I was like, hey, we could make a little bit more money with this. Like, everybody's getting a screaming deal at these things, but there are just some records out there you would pay $5, $10 for. So we got the idea to do more of a curated show, kind of aimed at this millennial audience that is actually keeping the vinyl thing alive. Vinyl has made a comeback. I know that's hard for a lot of people to believe, but it's really happening, and we're really ready to spend our money donating back to public radio.
And how would you explain that? I think a lot of people think of millennials as very digital.
Oh, we are so digital. The trend right now is people are publishing their end-of-year stats from Spotify, which is a streaming service. It's like how many minutes you've listened to, how many artists. So we're definitely connected in that way. But I think the thing about vinyl is it's very tangible. You can hold it in your hand. You can put it on. And when you can't go from song to song to song, listening to whoever you want, that limiting factor kind of lets you get into the music and discover things that you wouldn't find anywhere else, because no one's going to make you listen to the B-side unless that's what you have in your house. And it's another thing is, like, vinyl's pretty cheap. I mean, Spotify's free now, but it wasn't free like 10 years ago. And so, you know, there's that process of discovery. So it's really fun to get in there and look at all the artwork. Some of it is crazy. And so we pick out our records. They're $2, $5, and $10. Some of the $2 ones are great album artwork or just records that you don't really know about. $5 is like compilation albums and good stuff. And then like $10 is like the classic records that you want to walk out with.
What might be an example of one of those?
I found a bunch of Stevie Wonder records. That'd be like the $10 pile. I found The Shaft and Saturday Night Fever. Soundtracks, those are going to be $5. And then there's a lot of like $2 ones. Like, we have a whole dad rock section that's Steely Dan and
for the old guys that
Doobie.
Get up early the next day.
Yeah, or you're a millennial and you want to buy your dad something special, just like buy up that dad rock section. He'll be so happy.
Dad rock.
It's a thing, Scott.
So this is 5 to 7 At Amalga Friday Distillery. Night at Amalga Distillery. If people haven't been to the distillery yet, how would you explain how to get there?
It is gorgeous. It's in the old AEL&P building, I think across from the Baranoff. And it's not too big, so it's going to be pretty crowded, but it's super beautiful. It's 21 and older unless you're with a parent. And great drinks. We have Pucker Wilson's is going to be doing food, our buddy from across the street. So we're going to have pho rolls with his brisket.
Wow.
But it's not greasy, so it's not going to get all over the records. But we're starting at 5, and it's usually like a mad dash for the first 10 minutes, and people are ruthless. So I'm going to try and space out the boxes accordingly, and hopefully nobody throws elbows too much. It's amazing. And like, I would just come and, like, get your drink and your pho roll and then just, like, watch it become undone.
All right. So that's 5 to 7. Where do the proceeds from this go?
The proceeds go back to KTOO Public Media. It's just another way you can donate to the station and be part of making this nonprofit better.
All right. If you can't make it on Friday...
We have the used media sale. It's at 9 a.m. Here at KTOO. We're going to be pitching that morning, and we're going to be taking most of the stuff that doesn't sell at the pop-up record shop down there. So if you can make it Friday night, you're still going to have an opportunity to get some of those records, but the best ones are definitely going to go Friday.
Okay.
And then there's like DVDs, CDs, lots of different media forms at the Saturday one.
Okay. And that's from 9 to noon, you say?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And just a reminder, we do have our New Perspectives photo show up here in the studio. So if you wanted to come down and say hi to folks and check out the art show and this used media sale, it's a fun time to come down and say hi to us here at KTOO Public Media. That's on Saturday. If people want more info, Annie, where's the best place to go?
Our KXLL Facebook page has an event on it, and Facebook, Spotify, Vinyl Records, it's the way of the future.
Vinyl Records to support public media in 2017.
You betcha.
You heard it here on Juno Afternoon. Annie B., thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Scott.
listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Thursday, December 7th, 2017, 10 minutes till the top of the hour in the studio now. The one, the only, Nancy DeCherney with Arts Up and what's going on this weekend. Nancy?
It's another full weekend. But, you know, it's the holidays. So what I want to do is just make sure everybody knows to just take a deep breath. And the point of the holidays is to enjoy your family and friends and not get stressed out. So if it's stressing you, just say don't do it.
Yeah, just say no.
Just say no. Just sit down and have a glass of tea and say hi to people. It's okay.
Arts Up and spiritual right. advice today with Nancy the Chairman.
All right. But on the other hand, take your vitamins and get ready and go. Here we go. So this the theater that we have is Steel Magnolias. It's really fun. I went to see it last night. It's a delightful performance. And you have through till the end of December. So you could put it off, and a lot of people will do that, but you'll be sorry if you miss it. So there's that. Friday we have, tonight at, from 5:30 to 7 is the Downtown Family Night at the library, so you could go do that. That's free. There's also a gratitude circle from 6 to 7 p.m., so that's a thing you can do. You can always get details about these things on our calendar, which is at jahc.org and ktoo.org.
And so, what if somebody wants to put their event there?
There's a little place where you can click to say, put this on this calendar, please.
Takes like a minute or two, right?
Yeah,
super
just
easy.
Type it. We just need the, you know, who, what, when, where. That's the stuff. Fridays, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. is the UAS pottery sale. Everybody looks forward to this because that's a nice, homemade, lovely gift.
Is that out at UAS?
Yes, out at UAS in the Soboloff building, room 106. There is Christmas trees and resale is going to be on sale all this time. You were just talking with Annie B. about the media party that's over at Amalga from 5 to 7, but we have a wine tasting and flustered cluckers over at the Jack. kind of simultaneously.
You can do both.
You can do both.
Right?
Okay, yeah, yes, you can. You do that. 5:30 to 7:30 is the Naughty and Nice Party. There's going to be wine tasting by Specialty Imports. There'll be prizes. There's a no-host bar, live music by Flustered Cluckers. We've got some wonderful prizes at different businesses from downtown. And I just want to say this about that. It's local businesses that make our organization and your organization and all the things that you love in Juneau work. So please take time to walk around to your local businesses and think about getting something from them for Christmas for your friends and family. You know, Amazon's great. I love Amazon Prime, but they don't support the radio station and the Arts Council. So think about that. Anyway, enough about that. Let's see. There is an LGBTQ family potluck at Aldersgate from 6 to 8 p.m. on Friday. And on from 7 to 8, it's the evening at Egan, the Origins and Persistence of the American Campus. Richard Simpson, he's a UAS Assistant Professor of Humanities. On Saturday morning, there is from 8 a.m. till 7 p.m., Fishing Vessel Drill Conductor Workshops. Kind of important stuff to know. AMSI is conducting the workshop. You can go online. You need to register for this. The real big deal for the media sale is from 9:09 a.m. Is that true? 9:09 a.m.?
Yep.
Okay. 9:09 a.m. to 9 p.m. is the used media sale at K2.
To noon.
Okay. To yep. noon. Okay.
Yep. 9:09 to noon.
Yeah. So you can talk about the 9:09 part later. There's also the rest of the pottery sale from 10 to 6 on Saturday. 10 to 3 is the Saturday market out at the airport shopping mall. Arts and crafts fair from 10 to 6 at Mendenhall Mall. There's a taffy dance workshop, winter showcase. I think it's from 1 at 1 o'clock and at 6 p.m. at Thunder Mountain. There are two opportunities to have tea, 1:30 to 3:30. There's a Christmas tea at Aldersgate. It is a silent auction and seasonal music. You need to get a reservation for that. From 2 to 5, there's a Christmas tea at Holy Trinity. Scones, sandwiches, and all that sort of stuff. Two seatings, one at 2, one at 4. Get your reservations for that. There is a painting party at Louise Miller Fine Arts from 6 to 8 p.m. We have a Christmas Fine Arts and Crafts out at Mendenhall Mall. There is all kinds of self-care at the yoga place in case you're getting a little stressed out. Juno sings Sacred Heart. We need to get to Tuesday, where we've got mudrooms at 7 p.m., square peg in a round hole, and who hasn't felt like that occasionally?
Right.
Or often. In fact, there's a public open house from 5 to 7 out at the Mendenhall Valley about the Fred Meyers intersection. So take time to, if you're concerned about that intersection. From 5:30 to 7 at Resurrection Lutheran Church, they do Sing the Winter Blues Away sing-along. Sounds like a lot of fun. They do this every Tuesday. You should go there. It's free. Like I mentioned, there's also at 7 p.m. the JDH Choir and Orchestra Concert at JDHS. There's dance fitness at Dance Theater, Juno Dance Theater, from 7:30 to 8. On Wednesday, the Christmas trees and stuff will still be for sale at Fred Meyers. You can make felted ornaments at the Colored Wheel Arts over in Douglas. The JDH band concert is from 6:30 to 8:30 at JDHS. There's a crime line board meeting. Oh, that sounds like fun. But these things are important. So you can go onto our website and check out all of the things that you can do in this community. And like I said, take it easy.
All right. That's Nancy DeCherney, the Executive Director of the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. See her on Friday for...
Naughty and Nice.
What time does that start again?
It starts at 5:30, and you're going to have a great time. So I hope to see you.
Nancy, thanks so much for coming on.
Peace, love, and joy from Sea Alaska Heritage. When you shop at Sea Alaska Heritage store, you're supporting Southeast Alaska Native art, languages, and cultural programming all year long, making it the best place to buy Alaska Native art and gifts. Stop by the Walter Soboloff building Tuesday through Friday 10 to 6 and Saturday 10 to 5. This message brought to you by Sea Alaska Heritage.
Thank you for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon. Tomorrow on the show, Annie Klein will be your host. You'll talk about the ORCA program with Tristan Knudsen-Lombardo. And Tom Cosgrove will be talking about Sunday's storytelling workshop. Alexandra Pierce will let us know about Project Playground. And Mercedes Munoz will highlight what's going on at the Canvas. Let's take a look at the weather forecast here tonight. Calls for a 20% chance of rain after 3 a.m. and increasing clouds. Friday calls for rain. The rain could be heavy at times. High near 44. Chance of precip is a 90%. New precipitation amounts between a half and three quarters of an inch possible. Saturday calls for rain. Thanks for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon.